Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And, well, I want to change that just a little bit. I want you to have a happy and a blessed Mother's Day. Y'all know where blessings come from, don't you? Amen. Every blessing comes down from the Father of lights. So good to see you this morning. Got a great Mother's Day crowd today. Thank you for the opportunity to come again and share God's word with you. I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. About 50 years ago, I purchased a book that was written by a man named Ken Chafin. And I was intrigued by the title of the book. It's the title of the sermon this morning, Is There a Family in This House? Is there a family in this house? I begin to read, Ken Chafin was well known across Southern Baptist circles as a pastor and sought after evangelist, seminary professor, and had a lot of insight. But in that book, he told about how that book came to be, that he had really felt impressed because of the conditions of families. This was back in the 1970s, that he had a great concern that every year he developed a pattern to begin on Mother's Day preaching about the home and then ending on Father's Day, teaching some of the biblical truths about family and home and how important, how vital the family is to our society, and particularly to the kingdom of God. Is there a family in this house? This morning I want to read in Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses. We're going to look at some other verses in context, but if you found your place, if you'd stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able and are willing, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you this morning for a beautiful day, beautiful opportunity that we have to come to the house of God to put a focus on our appreciation for mothers and for families. Lord, I pray in these moments that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and impress it on our minds and particularly impress it on our hearts. May we hear you today and may we respond to you today in faith and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was a special church to Paul. Paul had a big role in the founding of the church at Ephesus. Spent a good bit of time there. In fact, one point he had spent over 3 years instructing the people in the church at Ephesus. When he writes this, he's actually in Rome. He's in Rome in prison. And he writes them a little bit different from other churches that he wrote. Some of the other churches, for instance, Corinthians and Galatians, Paul is writing to give them some correction, some things that they needed to do differently, some trouble areas that needed to be addressed. But in Ephesians, he's not writing to correct them. He's more than that, writing to give them encouragement. He's wanting to build them up in the faith, to make sure that they're walking with the Lord in the proper way. And as we mentioned last Sunday, the first part of Ephesians, he addresses doctrinal issues. He reminds the people of their position in Christ, of where they came from, that they came from being spiritually dead. And because of what Christ did, that they have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last part of Ephesians, he addresses practical, how do you walk this out? How do you live out your faith now that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Last Sunday morning, we were looking in Ephesians chapter 5, and we talked about how we make decisions, how we make choices, and the various ways that are possible for us to make choices. But there's one question that we ask, that's the best question that we could ever ask in making choices or decisions. Anybody remember what that question was? Well, let me go back and do that again. No? In chapter 5, Paul says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The best question ever is, what is the wise thing to do? Faced with a decision, a choice, what's the wise thing to do? And we talked about what wisdom is. Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective, not from a worldly perspective, but how does God see it? And we talked about how we get wisdom, how important wisdom is, and how we obtain wisdom. And so I just encourage you to go back over and over again and think about that. But here in Ephesians, in the verses that come after the idea of wisdom, we were talking about living wisely, Paul all of a sudden begins to talk about family. He's writing to the church, but then he shifts from the church to the home. That's sort of an unusual thing to do. But then as we study this, as we ponder the truths of chapters 5 and 6, we find that there is an interrelatedness, an interconnection between church and the home. You see, the family affects every structure in society. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the home, so goes our community. As goes the home, so goes our nation. The family is the foundational unit of society. If you got strong families, you'll have strong church. The essential nature of having a strong family. In fact, as I thought about this week, the most stable families that I know are families that are Christ-centered. Y'all want me to say that again? Y'all all right? Somebody asked me the other day, why do you keep saying y'all all right? Well, I got a reason. Some preachers, when they're preaching, they'll stop and say, amen. You know what they're asking for? Yeah. In fact, I've been thinking about that. I'm getting off the sermon now. I got to get back. But this week in my Bible reading, I'm reading through the Bible again. And I've done this for a number of years. It's just such a blessing to be read through the Bible in the course of the year. But I'm in Psalms, and many of the Psalms, especially in David's Psalms, and in Psalm 32, 34, 30, and all along in there, you'll find a section, and then you'll find the word Selah. S-E-L-A-H. Y'all ever seen that? And then you find another few verses, and then Selah. You know what Selah means? Selah means to pause and to ponder. In other words, you read a few verses and you just stop for a few minutes. You just stop and think about it. You just ponder that. Just think about what that's saying. And so that's all about when I said, y'all all right, I want you to stop and think about it. In other words, did you get it? And so I don't know where I'm at. Let me find out where I'm at here. If you want a strong family, you have to do it God's way. And today is Mother's Day, but I really feel like we need to go broader than just mothers, and we need to talk about the home. Because good relationships are learned in the home. Good relationships are learned in the home. The way relationships are strengthened at home will in a large way go to how relationships in your life are outside the home. Good relationships in the family. And so that's why Paul, when he's writing to the church, all of a sudden he begins to talk about the family. Now, when it comes to the family, I want to say up front, everybody is of equal value. Everybody's created in the image of God. Everybody, as far as value is concerned, everybody is of equal value. But in the home, everybody does not have equal roles. We all have different roles. And with those roles come different responsibilities. And we find out what those are in the Word of God. And then we make a decision. Am I going to do life God's way, or am I going to do life my way? And I would just suggest to you, those that choose to do life their way as opposed to God's way, what they're actually saying is, I know better than God. I think I got a better idea. And let me tell you, that idea and that attitude never works. The most stable homes and families that I know are those that are doing life God's way, those that are Christ-centered. So back up into chapter 5, Paul talks about relationships in the family. And he begins doing that with a very special verse. He says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so in all of our lives, there's areas of submission. Now, we don't like to talk about submission, because when we talk about submission, we have the idea that I'm being asked to let somebody else control me. I love what Adrian Rogers, a great pastor from days gone by, been in heaven now for 20 years, but Dr. Rogers had a way of putting things. Dr. Rogers, on many occasions, he said, you'll never be over what you want to be over until you're under what God wants you to be under. The that there are many people who want to assume leadership responsibilities but want to do that without submitting to following the design and the heart of God. And I want to tell you, in the family, God has a design. And it's God's way, and I would just, with all of my heart, suggest to you that God's way is the best way. Y'all all right? And Paul says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then he talks about the wife. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Does that mean that she's to see herself as of less value than her husband? Absolutely not. But in the home, there's a structure of leadership in the home, and the wife is to place herself under the leadership of the one that God has placed in leadership in the home. It's not to be forced. It's for her. You'll never be over what you need to be over until you're willing to be under what God wants you to be under. And sometimes folks get real nervous. In fact, I remember preaching one Sunday in a church not too far from here, and when I started talking about this, there were a couple of ladies that were visiting with parents. And you could just see them having a conversation down there. They wasn't liking what I was having to say at all. I thought they was fixing to get up and leave. And that would have been all right, because what I'm preaching to you today is not something I came up with. I'm preaching to you the Word of God. And the Bible says, wives, submit yourself unto your husband. Does that mean she's not to have input in any? No. But there's some families that say, well, I tell you what we do. We sit down and we discuss and we have all the options and then we make a decision. Well, I don't have a problem with that. But man, I want to tell you something. When it comes to decision time and you stand before God, God's not going to hold her accountable for the decision. He's going to hold the man accountable. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, what does that as unto the Lord mean? That means as you submit to your husband, it's just like you're submitting to the Lord. And if you resist that, you're not just resisting him, you're resisting the Lord. Then he goes on, and he says, husbands, verse number 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, some men have the idea with, bless God, I'm the boy here. She's supposed to submit. The Bible says she's supposed. They don't go far enough, because the next verses say, husbands, you love your wife. And the model is, you love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You men hear that? That your place in the home is compared to the relationship what Jesus has with the church, where he loved the church and he gave himself for the church. That puts a whole different idea of a wife submitting to her husband if he's giving loving servant leadership to the house. Do you see the difference? All the difference in the world. And some folks say, well, I'll do my part when she or he does his part. No, you missed the whole point. We're talking about God's design for the home. And so it's the wife, and by the way, the scripture there makes the husband the head of the home, but I want to tell you, the wife's the heart of the home. But then all that's introduction. I'm fixing to get to the message. Because then in chapter 6, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Disobedient children are out of the will of God. You cannot be in the will of God and be disobedient to your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In other words, anything other than that is not right. That's the right thing to do. And then he goes on to say, honor your father and your mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. First commandment with promise. I love Dr. John MacArthur's insight on this. Of course, when Paul's writing, he's going back to the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament, Exodus 20, where Moses received the tablets from God. There were two tablets. John MacArthur said there are two sections of the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship with God. And then the last six deal with our relationship with one another. Our relationship with our fellow man. You go back and look at Exodus 20 and the other places, and I'm going to tell you, it wasn't just given in Exodus 20. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke talked about honoring your father and mother. When you look at the second part of the Ten Commandments, the last six, you know which one is first? Top of the list. Honor your father and your mother. What does it mean to honor? It means to hold them in high regard. To recognize that they're blessings from God. Honor. Honor. If you don't do that, let me tell you the consequences of that. You reap what you sow. And down the line, if you don't honor your parents, you're going to reap the consequences. And some of you here this morning, you're saying, well, I've outgrown being a child a long time ago. When do you outgrow honoring your parents? Never. You don't ever outgrow. And let me go back to obedience just a minute. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You do get to a place in life where you have to make your own choices and your own decisions. But let me tell you, even though your parents may not make your decisions for you, you never outgrow the need for their counsel. So at some point you go from a commandment, here's what you do, to accepting their wise counsel. But then in honoring your parents, you never outgrow the need to honor your parents. Even after death. As we said a few minutes ago, some of you here today and your mother's been gone for years. My mother died in 1997. And yet I need to be a person who still honors his mother. How do you do that? You speak well of them. How? Share memories. Jeannie and I talk about sometimes how my mother and then her mother, who died a few years ago, what they would think about our grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Well, they'd be all about that. Yeah. They'd be telling us, y'all get out of the way. Let me get over these grandchildren. About 3:30 this morning, I was, as I do on Saturday night, I sleep with my sermons. Well, Jeannie's over there too, but I'm thinking about. About 3:30 this morning, I thought about my grandmother, my mother's mother. Every year, Thanksgiving, we'd go to her house. My mother was one of seven, and when you get all the grandchildren and all the others together, it was a mess. But I think about the last Thanksgiving that my grandmother was alive. We finished lunch that day. And we were sitting around just talking. And my grandmother, last words I ever heard her say, she said, I'm so glad y'all still enjoy coming home. I want to tell you, I honor her in that because she made it that way. Yeah. You honor your parents by you continuing, even after they're gone. Talk about your mother. Talk about her with other people. Talk about her with your children. Talk about her with your grandchildren. Ways that you can honor her. So honor your parents, your father and mother, even after they're gone. Children, honor your father and your mother. Parents, what I've got to say to you today is to be honorable. They ought to honor father and mother, but you ought to be the kind of person that they can honor. Be honorable. And how are you honorable? You are honorable that you honor God. I got to close, but I want to tell you about Linwood Hand. Linwood Hand, was the music director at Davidson Baptist Church in West Point, Georgia. And I got a call one day, and I answered the phone, and the other end, somebody said, is this Mr. Cummings? I said, yes, it is. And he called a name, and he said, I'm down at the Holiday Inn. I need for you to come down here. We got an urgent situation. He said, I'm with the IRS. I said, I believe you got the wrong fellow. He said, no. So we got a problem with your tax return from last year. We need you to come down to the Holiday Inn, and I'm waiting on you. He said, well, I said, well, it'll take me a few minutes, but I'm pretty nervous about that. I said, well, I'll be down in just a few minutes. And then he broke out laughing. He said, Larry said, this is Linwood Hand. And he said, I need for you to come. Next Sunday is Youth Day at our church, and I need for you to come and preach. Well, see, I'd never done that before. But I'd have said yes to anything. But Linwood Hand used to say, you honor God, and God will honor you. You honor God, God will honor you. Parents, you honor God. Parents, live wisely. What's the wise thing to do? Live wisely. Model wisdom for your children. Honor your father and mother. Be honorable. Model wisdom before them. Be wise in where you go. I want to tell you, our culture today is squeezing people into its mold. Parents, be wise. Don't let the culture... You be wise where you go. You be careful where you go. You know why? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You be careful what you say. You're in a conversation with somebody, you look over there and little ears are listening. You be careful, they're listening, and you know what you're doing? You're modeling. You're setting the example. Be careful what you say. Not only be careful what you say, but be careful how you say it. And be careful what you do. Be faithful. Be faithful. I need to say just a word about discipline. Parents that have children, be cautious about how you discipline. Don't discipline your child out of anger. Grandparents, don't discipline that grandchild out of anger. That communicates. You cool yourself down, and then you do what God leads you to do. Let me say one other thing. This is strong to me. Parents in discipline, never, 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 ever slap your child. You will wound their spirit. I'm talking about slapping them in the face now. There's nothing that you can do that will humiliate a child or another person more than slapping them in the face. Y'all all right? I know you never do that, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen that happen. I've seen that. So what am I saying? In the home, you got different roles. Wives, submit to the husband. Husband, love your wife. Children, obey. Children, honor. And you know what happens when all of that is done in harmony? And Paul is saying, I've given you the family here, but this is the way a church works. This is the way the church functions. And that's the way to live wisely. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. On this Mother's Day, you know the most wise thing you can do? Is give your heart to Jesus. You'll never live life to the fullest apart from Jesus. You'll never be what you need to be in your family apart from Jesus. And so we invite you today. Well, this could be a special day for you to give your life to Christ. If you're here today and you've given your heart to Christ and you've been saved, you're sure of that, but you've never publicly profess your faith in Christ, we invite you to come. If God's leading you to Hillaby Baptist Church to be a part of the family of faith here, and we'd love to help you begin that process of church membership and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If there are other decisions, what's the Spirit of God put His finger on in your heart this morning? And the invitation is you be obedient to the voice of God. Would you stand together as we pray? Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people that listen so well. Thank you for this precious church. Thank you for mothers. Lord, I pray that you've been able to communicate through what I've said this morning in a way that brings honor to you. Lord, as we have this invitation, I pray the Spirit of God would have freedom to work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Jerry, come and